So the first thing I said is, you know, Bob, how do I really pronounce your name? I know it's German, and so, you know, I would have pronounced it Gunthor, okay? Which obviously has, I mean, every name we get from someplace, like Smith, right? Came from the Smith, okay? Johnson was the son of John, all right? So Gunther. Goon there. No. Okay, that's probably not it. It might be because in his previous life, he actually, or so we're told back in his history, there was a member of his family that was part of the Secret Service. And he was famous for screaming as a person got out of a car and came up to President Reagan and was about to shoot him, and he yelled, "Gun there!" And it turned out to be a person eating a banana. So either Gunther or Gunther, choose your pick. He is married to the beautifully sweet Val. Gunther. They're from Lafayette, Indiana. He's retired from Eli Lilly, which is a pharmaceutical company. So I'm not sure if he's carrying drugs currently, you know, maybe he can make a prescription opportunity for you. He's currently president and editor of Truth for Today, you know, we really appreciate that because of the work that Oscar Baker did that brought, you know, many of us together. And you know, I studied with Oscar. I loved going to the farm and hearing his analogies. And I can't think of anybody better than Bob to carry on what, you know, Oscar has brought through Right Division and the Acts 28 position. He came to know this in 1974. He was saved the same year. He, had the opportunity to ask God face to face one question. What would it be? And he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?"
Amen.
My question would be, who the freak is Mike? Why are you mindful of him? All right, sorry.
Yeah, no, that, I think the same thing.
Interestingly enough, I asked him, what's the most humorous memory you have of the conference? And he said the banter between Mike and Forrest.
Amen. Yeah, I don't.
All right, so we're going to keep it coming just to entertain Bob, all right, and Belle, obviously. And why did you come to Phoenix? You know, surprisingly, it wasn't the food. Sorry, Kelly. Mel is not the tourist. He said, the sweet fellowship, which now means I know who actually wrote this, typed this for you, right? He dictated it, didn't he? Yeah. The sweet fellowship with the other like-minded saints, it feels like our home and we're with them. That's very, very kind of you. And we're thankful for that. my own way of introduction of Bob is I did a study that basically was based on a question that my son asked me about the man of God. What is the man of God? And what are the attributes, etc.? And in Ephesians, it gives a description of what I believe would be a description of man of God. It says, servants must be obedient to them that are their masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. A singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now you have to understand that I wrote that, well, I copied it, right, from Ephesians 4 weeks ago. When Bob sent me his bio, if you will, I circled this passage. Last night, he said the one thing he learned, he wished he had learned years ago, is don't do it as unto men. Amen. Do it as unto Christ.
Amen.
And it just goes again to show what like-minded people can do and what they're capable of. So I'm looking forward to the balance of your presentation. Bob Dunn.
Gunther.
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 Of course.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I find these introductions kind of embarrassing. I don't know that I live up to all these things these guys, these nice things these guys say about me. I'm truly humbled, I guess, by it. It is nice though to be thought well of. I do appreciate that. And as I said in my little bio that I sent, I really do appreciate Forrest and Mike. Their comments towards one another is that I really feel like most of the time we should be serious. The Lord would have us to be serious about this ministry, and yet I think we also need that other side. So that kind of helps me, I guess, to be more relaxed or more comfortable. As I said in the bio, I really do feel like I'm at home here. That's kind of weird because it's, you know, 1,200 miles away, but this feels like home away from home, I guess. And by the way, I do feel that same way in South Carolina, so you guys are great also. I just had a couple comments I wanted to make before we get started. Hopefully, it's not going to take too much time, but last year we had Santiago Chua here, and he gave a short lesson, and we had a guy by the name of Peter Redman, who actually host our conference over in Peru, and he was going to actually give him airfare to bring him to our PFT conference in June, but it kind of fell through because just the sheer expense of what it cost him to come last year, what's going to cost this year, he just didn't want to, you know, spend that much money. So what he did agree to do, though, which I thought was interesting, was he agreed to send Santiago $100 towards his ministry there in the Philippines, because he travels around and goes to conferences, but he needs the support to do it. He doesn't have a lot of local support, so he asked for Pete to do that, and Pete graciously did that. And so he sent me an email back that he'd got. Pete sent me an email that he'd got back from Santiago, just telling us his itinerary and how that money was going to be used. And I said, Pete, do you mind if I share that at the conference? I didn't say this over the phone. I sent an email. And I said, I'll even leave out, you know, the dollar amount if you want me to. And he said, no, go ahead and share the whole thing. So I've just done that. So I think, again, it's this, as I talked about last night, about this joining, this how we kind of build each other up. I think that's a... That's a great thing. And by the way, we had gotten, for those of you on PowerPoint, we had gotten some emails. Some of us had gotten some emails about the Chuas being in trouble in Nicaragua. Well, that looked bogus to me, and so we never responded to the email at all. And it was good in the email that this was not mentioned. Either no one told him about it, which I didn't do, that this thing was going around. But it was kind of... It's good when you contact people and you know them and you know how they talk and what they say. And this email, because of the spelling and just the way it was worded, wasn't him. And it was fake. So I wanted to share that with people on the day because he did not mention that in the email, that he was in trouble or had ever been in Nicaragua or anything like that. So I do want to send greetings from Joe Watkins. I seen him probably a little over a month ago, and his big day, when I got there, I said, how you doing, Joe? And he said, I just got back from lunch. I said, well, where'd you go? Thinking he maybe went to Arnie's for some pizza or something. He had went from his room out to the dining room table and had a meal. So it was kind of, it's sad in a way because of how active Joe was and what his life used to be and how full it was. And now it's reduced to that, but you know, he never murmurs, he never complains, he's a a real encouragement to me.
Amen.
And then Marie, we saw her about a week or so ago, and she wanted to send her regards. And she's doing well. She's gained a few pounds, but it looks good on her. And she was doing well. And so, I don't want to get into the story, but since Marie did a lot of work for us, and probably just like Mae Baker did a lot for Oscar, a lot more than what we knew about. And so when her family asked her to retire, at only 90, I'm thinking, but you know, she still had a few good years. But they said, no, it's time. So that they moved right. So we went over and visited her probably for an hour and a half. And she's doing well, and she thinks of all of you and wants to make sure you guys know that. Then Charlene Englund, who was here last year, sent us an email and said that she was not going to be here this year, but that she wanted to let everyone know here that she's thinking about us and that she's praying for us, not just now, but throughout the year. And she's another one of those people that just kind of encourages us to stick with it.
Amen.
And she's faithful, and we want to remain faithful. And by the way, Jan's got a card that she has sent, and I was going to read that up here, but it's better, I guess, if each one of you get it, just look at it, and see the comments on it. Just want to say hi to those people listening on Pal Talk. This thing that we do, and most of the people here are actually speakers on it, it's just a marvel to me, because we can have like a mini conference every week. And the beauty of it, by seeing your faces now, when we see your name on there, your nickname on there, we put a face to that. So it's great. If you're not participating in that, you could actually go to the North Carolina Bible Group.org. Go on there, and you can get all these lessons. Chip Winchester is posting these, and along with Ronnie, and it's great. And they've got all Oscars, almost I think all Oscar stuff on there.
Yeah,
everything that Jim has sent out. So that's great. So there's those two things. Even though Mike calls this internet the evil box and the computers, there is a way for this to be used for God and for good. So even though the enemy will use it for, and I just tell everybody that just be careful on there. You know, just don't get into sites that you're not aware of, and careful what words you use to do searches on, and you'll do fine. And mainly, I'm in there for Pal Talk and email. Those are the two things that I get in there for the most. But I do want to greet those that are listening. Let's go to Colossians. Chapter 3. We really didn't get through all of 3:17. But I think for the group that was there last night, I think we got it. I think we got the gist of what Paul was trying to say to us. And so I'm gonna read that. Well, just a real quick short word of prayer, just to make sure the Lord is really, the Lord is right there, whether I ask Him to be there or not. But I think it's a good idea that I remind myself that He's there to help me, that I don't try to do this on my own and in my own strength, because it used to be, I used to go ahead and struggle with that and do it for a while and didn't pray. But I'm realizing it's better to pray when you start, rather than go ahead and make a mess out of it and then pray. So I'm getting it in the right order. So let's bow with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get started in our lesson. Our Heavenly God and Father, would you come into your presence? Would you thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness and your goodness to us? Just the way you love us. We have a very, very, very loving God. And we really, truly appreciate it. But ask, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would give us the understanding that you would have, that we would have, that you would have for us. And even though we know sometimes when we share the word, some people get something different than what we originally planned, we're thankful for even that. But we know that your word is really what speaks to our heart. So, Lord, with that, we want to turn this time over to you and use it for your benefit, to help us to get to know you and perhaps live better lives. that you could be well pleased in. We ask it all in our Savior's name. We ask it for his sake. Amen. So Colossians 3:17, the word started out by saying, and whatsoever you do in word, that's you know, you just say you're going to do something, or deed, that's the actions that you actually do. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's absolutely critical that you be thankful. I don't know if y'all have children or not, but when we do things for them and they're not thankful, it hurts. And I think in the same way, when the Lord does things for us, we should realize that he wants to be thanked. I think it's amazing the whole world doesn't even want to give him credit for being the Creator.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, it's his world. He did it. Acknowledge it. Be thankful for it. So that's a key. It's something I didn't get into last night, but it's a key to this. And then what we're going to get into today is this. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm 100% qualified to actually speak on this subject. And I really feel like this area where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. This is kind of better. What we did in our own group at home, we split up the men and the women, and the women went through a book and the men went through a book that was written by Gary Smalley. And we that way the men weren't picking on the women and the women weren't picking on the men because we weren't together. So I'm saying all this because I want you women to notice that this is mentioned first. Wives, submit yourselves and to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. I don't know if you've thought about what submitting means, but basically it's just putting yourself under that other person's authority. And by the way, this isn't one-sided. It's not just only the women have to do this towards the husband, the wife up toward the husband. But it actually works both ways. The husband has to submit also to the wife. So it's not a dictatorship, and it's not something where the man should in any way think of the as his wife is less than he is. The Lord doesn't look at it that way. As he sees us, as one. Not two, but one. But I do want you to notice that it's the wives that's mentioned first. And it doesn't always work out, even if the wife does this, that the husband does what he's supposed to. But it sure helps when they do it that way. It makes it easier for the husband to do what he's supposed to do if the wife does her part. If she fights and struggles and resists this because the world is saying, no, don't do that. You're no less than he is. Matter of fact, you should love yourself more, put yourself first. It's typically the way the world thinks. We want to follow the Lord's instructions. I find more and more as we do it his way that it works. And we could use, if you think about Israel being married to God, Israel being the wife, and the Lord being the husband, that we really kind of see this picture of an unfaithful wife, a wife who wasn't willing to submit, who refused to have her husband over her, and eventually the Lord even divorced her and set her aside. I believe he's going to come back again, going to reunite with her. She's going to be his wife, as he intended it to happen in the beginning. But when he comes the second time, she will be willing to do that. So this whole area here, wives submitting to your husbands, it's a big deal. And our country right now is passing laws that are changing the rules and the definition of what a marriage is. And when I know and I understand how important this relationship is to the Lord, the value he puts on it, and what they're doing with it is a shame. It's not a marriage. No matter what kind of definition they want to come up with, it's male and female, he made them. And that union in between the male and the female, that's where the one comes in, the one flesh. So, it doesn't take very long for me to start getting this flipped over to the man's responsibility. The next verse, as a matter of fact. So the Lord doesn't he doesn't spend a great deal of time on this, and I won't either. But I just want to remind the wives just what the scripture says. It's not me saying it, it's what the Lord is saying. So he goes on in the next verse, he says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. So this loving our wife, regarding them above ourselves, is something, if this wife is submitting, it's actually pretty easy to do. If she's not, it makes it difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. But this last part, this be not bitter, it seems like, for whatever the reason, the husbands want to justify being bitter because the wife didn't submit the way he thought she should. It's just not really true. There's no validity in that. When he says, be not bitter against them, there's not something added after that that says, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, then it's okay to be bitter. I was just looking at Betty Sharp and reminding myself of how Nathan loved her and how he just showed me what that means. So, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And so that area of being bitter, to me, it kind of goes to that area where you think, hey, I'm in authority. You're supposed to do what I say. And if you don't, then it's all right for me to be upset, to be angry, and whip you into submission. That isn't what's being said here at all. Matter of fact, as we read last night, it's more this attitude of being forgiving, no matter what. And so, when I do that, when I follow these instructions, and I make mistakes just like all men do, but when I follow these instructions, and don't be bitter, because things just don't go exactly the way I think they should, the Lord blesses me in that. I don't think He blesses Val in that. We've had 3 beautiful years together so far, and we're still learning about each other. Someone said last night it was 31 years from then. Thinking that's good. I hope to be around long enough to do that. I don't know that I will, but I hope to be. I want to go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I think about verse 23. I'm not doing quite as much word study today as I normally do. I'm not 100% apologizing, but I don't think I should do the same thing every time I do this, every time I get to speak. But I'm really just trying to get a concept out here, or as we talked about last night, an attitude. An attitude that husbands ought to have toward their wife, and an attitude that wives ought to have toward their husband. This relationship, this unique relationship of marriage, is something that God started way back with Adam and Eve. And it represents more than just two people getting along with one another and doing, just the way what I see a lot in this world is just two people living together. They share the bill. Sometimes they don't even do that. They have separate checking. But that's so far removed from what the Lord talks about when He's talking about this marriage. It's sad. Because they're missing out. They're missing what God has for them. So He goes out, He starts out in here in verse 21. This time He's saying it to both of us. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't go around shaking in my boots every time I think about God. I think of Him as that loving God that really wants what's best for me. And everything He does is with He has me in view. And so, I don't have that kind of fear. But what I do have a fear of is missing out or not getting a reward or not pleasing Him. Now, I want to, if I have somebody that loves me that much, I want to please Him with my life, with my actions, with my thoughts. And so this submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord really pleases the Lord. Let's think about Jim and Jan back there. That's another really good example of how marriage ought to be. I can hardly ever say Jim. It's usually always Jim and Jan. I don't really think of them as two people. I think of them as one. And so whenever I read verses like this, I think, well, these guys get it. They're doing it. I want to do that too. So it goes on in verse 23. I hope I'm not embarrassing anybody by using your name. I didn't ask for permission to do that, but I really do. And I think I've told you that both face-to-face before. If I haven't, I feel that way, genuinely. Wives, again, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this is the area I want to get into that I want you to think about. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. And I've heard some people say that means the husband is the boss. I don't see that here at all. If that's what he meant, he could have used a different word. He used the word head. And the word head means that he's the supplier. That he's the one that meets the needs. That he's the one who takes care. There's another verse I'll probably read you just a few minutes that just talks about loving your wife in such a way that she doesn't have wrinkles. I really do try to do that with my wife. It doesn't always work because sometimes she wants to worry even when I ask her not to. But the area of it is she shouldn't have to worry. That's my job. It's not my job to worry. It's my job to take care of her. The Lord really tells both of us, don't worry. I'm in charge. I'll take care of it. So with that thought in mind, he goes on, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That unique relationship that Christ has with his body is revealed in the marriage in a very minute, small way. But can you see how important it is to have a good marriage? How important it is to love and to love each other and support each other, submit to each other? Because it is revealing to those who are watching, and believe me, people are always watching. And they seem to want to point it out when we miss the mark more than at other times. There's not a lot of people going around patting you on the back saying, nice job. But when we do it the right way, you know, who we want the applause from is the Lord, not necessarily other humans. So I think we do that. But think about your responsibilities as a husband. And I'm saying this to the men who are married. That our relationship, whenever we think about how we our relationship with the Lord, how we our desire to want to submit to Him, to have Him in control. That's the same way our wife should do it, but I don't necessarily think we do a good job of that all the time. We don't necessarily submit all the time to the Lord the way we should. So to me, at least, it gives me the idea that I could be a little bit more forgiving or a little bit more understanding if my wife doesn't always want to submit to me as her husband. Because I don't always want to submit to the Lord. Most of the time I do. And I will confess that most of the time thou wants to submit to me. I probably actually can't think of any time that she hasn't wanted to do that, which is very, very refreshing. But there is that idea, though. It's a voluntary thing, like I talked about last night. It's a choice that you make. And as Travis brought out again, the idea that the Lord has given us the power to do this. And if we try to do this in the flesh, we're going to fail miserably. The only way we can do this is in the Lord. And I think if we look at the pattern, though, if we see how important that relationship that Christ has with His body, to me, then that shows me the importance of my marriage, and it makes me want to make it work. It makes me want to do it right. It makes me want to be found pleasing unto the Lord. Because He obviously put a great deal of emphasis on the marriage. Even to the degree He says here, it's the same relationship that Christ has with the church. So just remind yourself of that. If things aren't going exactly the way you think that they should, just remind yourself of the relationship that you have with Christ, how you need to submit to Him in everything, as I could say last night. He goes on and says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands. I've actually heard people tell me that actually the church, the so-called church here on the earth, and the pastor, they have this power. But I don't see that anywhere in this verse at all. In other words, that you have to be accountable to man, not necessarily accountable to each other or accountable to the Lord. They want to insert the church in here, but I don't see, that's not what I'm reading here. That's not what I'm seeing here. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that what that just means to me is that relationship that he talked about in the verse before, about the husband being subject unto Christ, or I'll read again, 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So that's the relationship he's talking about, and he's not trying to insert the pastor or the church or anything like that in this at all. So he goes on to say, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. And you know that it's not a thing like love them when they're good and love them when they're being good to you. That is not what I'm reading here. It doesn't come across that way. I see it more like love them anyway. You know, I talked last night, and I talked about people wanting to put us under the Ten Commandments. This is a commandment here for us to love our wives, for the husbands and for the wives to love their. But I think that's interesting too, the way he puts that, the way that the Lord puts that. He kind of uses a little different word for the responsibilities of the wife and the responsibilities of the husband, and how they do the love. And I want to say this, I didn't make up these rules. I'm reading this. This is his plan. All I can tell you is, if you do it this way, it works. I've seen it in some of the other saints here, the ones that have been married for a long time. And we're not going to be able to reinvent the wheel. We're not going to be able to come up with another way of doing this. It's going to be better. This is the best. This is the way to do it. This is the... We're talking at breakfast about these people lay out these plans. These restaurants are all laid out the same wherever you go. And so, if you think about it, this plan works. That's why they keep repeating it. Amen. And this plan here works. That's why the Lord wants us to repeat it. So, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. This is tough if you think about it. And he gave himself for it. How much did he give, Mike?
Everything.
Gave it all. Gave his very life. Gave his blood. That shows you the kind of love he's talking about. That's how much giving is involved here. And so, I'm not pointing you out because I don't think you're doing this, by the way. That's not what I'm even remotely trying to say.
So, thanks,
but that's, I think you guys do a great job. So I do want you to just to see and to follow this with me. How much he gave, and how important the church is to him. How important we are to him, because we're his body, and he loves us, and we are to love our wives in a very similar way, in the sense that we are willingly wanting to give our lives for them. He says in verse 26 that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. Sanctify means it's to set apart. I think set apart for the master's use. It has the idea of cleaning it up and taking away from that, but it's just not neutral. You're set apart to something. And in this case, I think we're set apart to be in the Lord's service. Even in America. It's that important to you. I think it's as important as getting up here and talking. Maybe more so. I know it's more important to Valerie that I follow this than just getting up here and talking about it. It's more important that I actually do it than I live it. So he said that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So I believe the men have a huge responsibility, the husbands have a huge responsibility to love their wives, and then to I think to help them to reach the goal that the Lord would have for them. It doesn't mean that we should preach to them or look down on them or anything like that. I think it's a working together. But you know, as long as we both all know that it's what the rules are and what the roles are, to me then that kind of clears it up of what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know if you notice, but the world is so messed up that most people now when they get married, they don't know what they're supposed to do. Even in the world where they're just courting or just dating one another, they don't know whether they're supposed to buy, not buy, go Dutch. It's all a mess right now. I told Val when we first started dating that I think I said, what was the word I used?
Because I'm an old guy.
That's not what I meant. She remembers those things quite well. What I meant was, and I had to explain that later, that I'm an old-fashioned guy. And that I want to obey these rules. Because these are good rules. Doesn't it change things? You see how tough our job is?
Wow. Awesome.
So, we go on here. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church. This is that verse I was telling you about earlier. Not having a spot or a wrinkle. Or any such thing. But they should be holy and without blemish. To me, it's like it's a goal. I don't know if we ever quite reached that, but that's the goal. And so, it's something to work at. It's something that I think some people think you get married and then you do the ceremony 3 months later. You've got things figured out, and then you just keep doing that over and over again. It isn't it. There's a lot of work. A lot of changes happen with just our relationships and that kind of thing. But you just keep in mind the goal is to not have them have wrinkles and spots or any such thing, but be holy without blemish. So he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And so to me, what it's saying is not to put myself first, not to put my own appetite or my own desires first, but rather to put her first, to put my wife first. And as I said before, Val actually makes that pretty easy for me. She really does. I enjoy taking care of her. And I just enjoy marriage because I think I'm trying to do it this way. And when I mess up, which I do time to time, she forgives me. Truly forgives me, and we move on. And that's a blessing that you can't pay for. There's no way to put words on it to say how good that is. When you're able to do that, and both of us need to do that with each other, be forgiven and kind. So he goes on to say, for no man has ever yet hated his own flesh. Typically what you think about really, the thought is that we as husbands sometimes we're selfish. We think of ourselves first. And we put ourselves first. Our own desires, our own appetites, our own hobbies, whatever it is. If that's before your wife, then you might want to reconsider it. Because the scriptures were very clear here not to do that. So he goes on to say, no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man be joined unto his wife. This is marriage right here. This is what ought to be in Webster's. Not whatever the world's coming up with for these relationships that people have. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. And I know there's circumstances sometimes where kids have to come back home again. And it seems like in this economy that's happening more than what we care to admit. But by and large, the Lord would really have you separate from that family and get under it. That's the goal. So he says they should leave the father and his mother, and they shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That is marriage. Now he says in this next verse, and I have to agree, this is a great mystery. It really is. When you start thinking how different we are, how different men are from women, and how we think, and how our minds work, and our feelings, it is amazing that he would take two beings that don't really think alike and put them together and make one. Make us of one mind. Same goal, same regard for one another. So this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you. So he says, even if you don't get everything I'm saying here, and even if you don't really care about us, you know, these things about the church and that. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. So with that, I'm gonna close with a quick word of prayer. I feel like that's a lot. You know, if we can just do even just part of that, that's a lot. And if we thought about, just remind you again, we talked last night about whatsoever you do in word or deed. This is part of it. This comes right after that. This is the part of the whatsoever. And so, whatever we do in word or deed, we need to be doing this, having that relationship with Him and with our spouses, and I think even with one another. So let's close. Heavenly God and Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for what it says, even though sometimes the instructions go against our flesh and go against what we find natural. We know, Lord, that when we think like you do, when we have the same desires that you do about loving others and about putting others first, that works. And so help us to do that. Help us to be more like you'd have us to be. For we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.